I just joined you. Gary, how are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I'm moving around different places in my office. I'm trying my daughter, who worked alongside me for months when she was kind of moved out of her apartment at the early start of this, sat at this location. So I've been using my house now for different background locations. So I'm in a different one this time. So
it's nice. It's a nice piece of art back there.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we're getting to know our homes better.
I know. I guess there are Zoom critics out there that critique the backgrounds of different public officials and things. You know,
and I have seen some things that are deserving of critique. So.
Well, this is exciting. So what got you to reach out here?
Well, you I'll give you the really quick background. Everyone has put this as an extremely important time on their calendar, and you see all five of us have joined us on my team. And in 2011, I was working with my father and another office admin when we adopted Supernova. Okay. And we adopted that in 2011, but we only did the, who our coach, but we did, maybe just the 3 months, I think. We did not complete and did not continue on. And I have sensed, as my team has changed, and I've been very fortunate to partner with and add some other individuals to our team, Rob. They all kind of look at me with an understanding of what Supernova is, but not really an appreciation yet.
Right.
And I kind of ran into a wall when I was using the service aspect, but I am not doing all of the other, wonderful things that are attributable to the program. And then we were looking for coaches. And so we all participated in a lot of different coaching, interviews, calls, all that sort of stuff. And then once we met with you, all agreed that it was a great fit from the concept, just essentially what we were doing, the fit, personality, experience, all those kind of things. So I got everybody together and we're all in with both feet.
Well, that's great. That's great. Cause, as you know, sometimes we have, one, usually a junior person, very enthusiastic about the program, and then a couple of reluctant ones, and then it's just pulling teeth the whole time I'm coaching,
I can imagine.
I prefer not to be a dentist. It's hard enough learning and making changes without somebody always questioning the entire process. So congratulations. Change is always hard. Change is difficult. We all get comfortable doing what we're always doing, and it always isn't the best thing for us, right? But we're comfortable doing it. I mean, we all know we've got some habits that we prefer not to discuss in public, that are, I went and reached for it's supposedly a healthy bar, right? But it may not be the healthiest breakfast that I could have for myself, right? So, I've got a little caffeine over here. Right. So we have our little, treat, we can call them treats for ourselves and so forth. And we all know what we should do, but we always, we're not always doing it. Hence, I believe that we hire coaches to help us. We hire people to mow our lawns, wash our cars, but we don't hire somebody to take care of us. And, we should. So if we can hire somebody to clean the house, then we should hire somebody to keep us on track. So having a personal trainer is a really good thing. Now in COVID world, maybe it's a harder task, but I'm really enjoying coaching in this COVID world because I get to see you guys. You know, I get to, I can't come and visit there, during COVID. I could another time, but it would cost you way too much money and you don't want me there. But doing this, we can virtually have a meeting in person and get a lot of the benefits. So I've changed, you know, my coaching, I think, is more effective now than it's ever been because of Zoom. And I wouldn't have bothered doing this before Zoom. Conference calls were fine, right? And they're still fine, and we still get the job done. But I kind of enjoy this and get to see you guys and to see your expressions, and maybe somebody makes a joke and everybody laughs. It's good, right? So you all need a laugh in the morning. Anyway, I got your worksheet, and that's terrific. What we want to do is, we've gone through the program. It's 12 weeks of pretty intense, focus on change. And so think of it as we're going to do a sprint for 12 weeks. Then we're going to take a pause, and then we're going to go once a month for the next 9 months, and we're going to fill in things that we haven't done up to this point. So the first month of the monthly sessions, we'll work on purpose, mission, vision for where we want to be 5 years from now. What's our purpose statement, our mission statement? And then we'll build a business plan. And that's fun. But we've got so much work structurally to do first that I don't want to take 3 weeks and do that stuff. But we will focus on our team organization and structure during these 12 weeks. So we'll get ourselves organized with our clients in terms of structure and process for them. But we'll also get our team organized so that one person isn't working and everybody else is watching them while they work on different parts of the business. Team organization is really important. Now when you first went through the training, we had a workbook and we had a conference call, and you were on with probably another couple of teams. And it was just running through the, you know, you just hung on, right? Grab a hold and run, hang on while we run through 3 months of quick training. Today we've got the advantage of I've done videos on every week's work. So you watch so you don't have to listen to me just pontificate about the subject. You get to watch the video and you watch as many times as you want. But I encourage everybody on the team to watch the video. And then we just redid the workbook. We've probably redone the workbook since you went through it. I bet I've redone it 6 or 7 times. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to date. I just found another error. Of course, you always find errors. I edit my own books and I can't tell you how many errors I find. And then I did the audio version with a friend of mine, actually did the voice, and we found more issues, you know. So it's never ending. But I think it's pretty good. So the workbook is good. Now we've also written 2 more books since you went through. So the Supernova Advisor was the first book. The second book is everything that I learned in coaching UBS from 2008, I guess, when I started with you guys, all the way through, I don't know, it was about, you know, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years of coaching, and I've got a million stories in there of people that you would know. So The Supernova Multiplier is that book, and it's everything we learned in those 12 years. And then Curtis Brown and I wrote a book on teams. And since you guys are a team, this is kind of required reading for you guys. It's how do you hire people? You know, we don't talk about that in the Supernova Multiplier or Supernova Advisor. I spend much more time on team structure and how do you hire, you know, how do you create, you know, all the different issues that you go through as a team. So this is a very helpful book. Once you go through it quickly, then you can use it as a reference. Anytime you need to hire somebody, go back and look at the chapter on hiring and go, okay. So that can be almost a reference book. The multiplier is also set up to be a tool to help you when you're saying, oh yeah, what was that on? Rob talked about mastermind groups. Turn to the chapter on mastermind groups. And that'll give you exactly how to set them up, how to run the meetings, and then case study after case study, three case studies pretty much for every subject. So those are interviews that we did for with people that were successful in each of those strategies. So that's a lot of new stuff. Plus, of course, we have the website. I've done a webinar on each of the seven strategies that I did before I wrote the book, actually. And so those you can go back and look at and help you in terms of learning the skills that you need. So think of it as, okay, we've won the U.S. Amateur Championship, and now we want to go play on, you know, college golf, and now we want to go on and play the pros. We have different skills that we pick up as we go along. And just so think of yourself as that, okay? You're going to pick up new skills to make yourselves better at what you do. Not that you weren't good. You were good, very good. But you want to be among the best. So I was pleased to see you guys are designated as private wealth advisors.
Well, you know, that's a goal.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a goal. So I had that as current. We talked about that, but it's, I think that the right-hand column was.
Right. But you, aren't you a CPWA?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you are, but the team isn't. Is that?
Well, it's just an individual designation. So,
okay.
You know, and that's through Investment Wealth Institute. So
okay.
The designations we've been pursuing, Andy is sitting for the CPA exam, I think, next month, right, Andy?
CFP, yeah.
Yep, CFP, and then
that's
I have
right.
My AWMA already, but nobody knows what that means, so it's not really that helpful.
I like the sideburns there.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen
it. I need a haircut.
No, that's good. It's cool. Anyway.
That's really cool. Is a goal. So basically what we're doing, I mean, that is, I've talked to management about that, Rob, and that's my, and they have said that it's certainly something they could support, but with things happening right now, it's not immediate, but I think it's
right.
Achievable.
Okay. So with that in mind, our first task is to determine what our minimums are. So, and this is kind of a mathematical thing, and then it's a psychological thing, right? And then it's a marketing thing. So it has a lot of different levels. You think, well, it's just a minimum. No, it says a lot, right? So what you do is go through and determine your average or your mean, number for your team. So you take your revenues and divide it by your number of clients. Now, how many clients do you have now, Gary?
310, I think. Well, okay. We had about households, but
right.
310.
Okay. And the revenues were?
Well, we're $1,750,000.
Okay.
We're a little higher than that right now, but that was our goal starting the year, and that's what we're tracking.
Okay. So anybody have a calculator?
Yes. It's I divided it by 300.
Yep.
Is that right? And that's $5,833.
Okay. Now, are there any big clients in there that would be outliers, or is it a pretty broad base?
Now we have probably two outliers. One is $150,000 revenue, and the other one is $100,000.
Okay.
So, those are responsible for about about $120 million in assets. One of them is $100 million, the other one is $20 million.
Are they individuals?
One of them is. The other one's an institution. It's a city. It's a municipality where we do corporate cash management for them. And that's okay. It's $100 million and about, isn't that right, Janet? I think St. Joe is about $100 million, isn't it?
It's 120.
It was 120 million. Okay.
Well, with the new bond issue coming in the end
of the month. Yeah. So let's, and I looked at the revenues were about $98,000 over the last 12 months. That's where I came up with that number.
Okay. Okay. So in reality, you've got kind of if you take those two out, then it's a pretty, flat practice in terms would it be the 80-20 rule?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. I mean, I looked at that and I kind of went through some of this purging with my own stuff.
Yeah.
Again, a few years ago. And so some clients were, I found other places for them. And then what's been happening has been over the last 3 years, Janet Groves and I formed a partnership, and that's Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Corporate cash management niche, and so that's what we were just talking about. And she is a retiring FA, so she is in the process of working a little bit less, unless we kind of push on her, then she'll come back in and work even more. But over the next 3 or 4 years, as we kind of work this out, she'll be working less. And then Tim, who you see, Tim Laughlin, has been with me a year.
Mm-hmm.
We've been partners, and Tim had a banking background at a trust department here in the Midwest. And so we have been adding clients that were former clients of the bank. And then Andy Gustafson, you'll see on the far right, he is just with us in production since May.
Okay.
And so we're adding accounts and some family accounts. So there's some of those people that are added in, is what I'm trying to explain, who really haven't gone through this process, and we're not as strict, let's say, on the revenue requirements. So that's where we are.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. So when asked on that worksheet what your minimum would be, you put down $1 million. Is that sound?
Well, I put correct? That, yeah. I had worked with $1 million of wallet share, I call it.
Yeah.
So that would be, for example, I'm telling you wallet share is. But that's what I have used and continue to essentially adhere to. So I've used assets, not revenue or production.
Okay. So in reality, if it's $6,000 of revenue at 1%, well, that may not be your number, because you guys probably don't operate at 1%, do you? What do you operate at?
Probably it's on a sheet that I don't have right in front of me, but again, we've got some assets that don't have that. Yes, the answer is we're probably about 45.
Yeah.
Or maybe 45 or 50 basis points, because we have $425 million doing, you know, $1,750,000. So whatever, Tim, whatever right. that calculation is, that's what he's asking.
Right.
Did you do that, Tim?
Yeah, I'm working on it. That's 41 basis points.
Yeah, so that's about what I think it is, Rob, something like that.
Right. If you take out the institutional accounts, does it come close to 1%, or are you transitioning to fee-based, or where are you?
I think institutional accounts, Gary, it would be a lot higher. You take out reorg and you take out some of these other – I think if you took out the institutional accounts, it'd be much higher.
Yes. Don't you? Yes. And it is. Yeah. Janet's right, Rob. And it is probably at least 85 or 90 basis points on the assets that are not the institutional accounts.
Okay.
And yeah, even on our largest account, I mean, that's 75 basis points of.
Well, that's great.
So, I mean, that's a, yes, it's much closer. I'd say probably 80, 85 basis points.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay. So what we need is more assets. It seems to me, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you're doing great, but I mean, if we're going to look at this, you want to be a private, I mean, I'm just saying, okay, if we're going to be a private wealth advisor, we got to get to a $5 million minimum. That's what their minimums are, and some are 10. And you got to be closer to, frankly, you got to be closer to $1 billion.
Yes, agreed.
And that's the game in terms of the private wealth advisor business. Now, because you put that down there and as an ambition, I will refer to that a number of times because I have coached many of the teams that are private wealth advisors. And frankly, we built Supernova around that concept. A concierge practice, limited number of clients, giving them an extraordinary client experience. So that is kind of our model. So you don't need to go anywhere else, frankly, to build a practice as a private wealth advisor than simply do what we teach at Supernova. There isn't any other magic wand. The only other thing that I see that they do pretty consistently is they do some individual money management. Do you guys do that?
Yes. You mean individual, whereas we are the portfolio manager?
Right. Discretionary money management, where you are the professional, where you are the a one of several, but you are one of the money managers.
So, yes. So what we have, that's not the large part of what we do. So Tim is talking about like PMP.
Sure.
Right.
So PMP was something that, well, first of all, Tim is, and will continue to be focused for us on our money management strategies and a lot of this implementation, because he's excellent at it. And quite frankly, he really enjoys doing it a lot more than me.
Yep.
P. But what we've decided to do is embrace this AAP, which is, you know, so what UBS did, it's the advisor allocation. And I went through that certification then earlier this spring. And really, it's using separate accounts on a discretionary basis, constructing portfolios, as opposed to us selecting the individual equities. So, you know, what happened, I don't know, are you familiar with this, what UBS did?
No, but it makes sense, right?
I mean, yeah. Basically what was happening, UBS might have a proprietary portfolio we're running that's called Dividend Ruler. It might have 32 different. And then PMP, a lot of the advisors were taking that as their own portfolio, managing it. So UBS has now taken that capability away from advisors and put that into a separate account format.
Yep.
And so we just pull that one off the shelf. So we might pull Dividend Ruler, and we might pull a particular ETF. Tim has developed three excellent strategies for us that we're kind of, you know, using and that we're working on. We're meeting on it regularly. So I'd say the answer is yes, but not really in security selection as much as manager selection.
Yeah. You've got to, in that world, you've got to have something on the investment side that makes you look unique. Okay, and that's what you've done, which is fine, which is great. And it doesn't take the amount of time that it takes to pick individual stocks, which is great also. But having the dividend, you know, having a unique portfolio that others don't have access to is really what you want to be creating. And if you can match, you don't have to kill it, you know, you just have to be able to match what other people are doing. You just don't want to be way underperforming because you say, I'm very conservative, therefore I'm way underperforming. That's fine, but it among the private wealth advisors, it doesn't work.
Okay.
Well, good. That gives me a sense of the team. So who will it be that will be running, quote, running the Supernova model?
I'm pointing to you, Andrew. You can take yourself off mute now. CJ is no longer barking.
Yeah, the dogs quit barking. That would be me.
Okay, Andrea, great. So I've got you as a WMA.
Yes.
That's terrific. And have you've done Supernova or worked with the folders or worked with the scheduler in the past?
Yes. I started with Gary 4 years ago. I believe that's right. And I read your first book. And then I just tried to go through and piece together what the previous administrator had left me. So yes, I know the folders. I've helped Gary get them prepped for meetings, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So we just redid the scheduler to bring it up to Microsoft's latest version.
Okay.
And it will populate Outlook now. So when you drop in the names of the clients, it will automatically populate the year. Okay. So you need to meet with Cindy Bowie.
Okay.
B-E-U-O-Y. Cindy is my chief operating officer. Gary, you probably talked to her a number of times.
Sure.
Anyway, she will run through the scheduler for you and let you No, we're very delighted because we were quickly running out. I mean, once you are no longer compatible, the system shuts down. So we quick put in a fix on that, and it cost me a lot less than I thought it was going to cost me. So that was lovely, and that just happened last week. So we're out of our little predicament. So that's up. The latest and greatest and should be able to be very easily used. And just for the rest of the team, what's tricky about the scheduler issue is when you try and do it yourself, you can certainly put Outlook on the calendar easily for 12 contacts, right? Contact them every month on a particular day. But what you get tricky is when you try and do 12-4-2. So that's 8 regular contacts, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. Now it gets weird. And you don't want to have, you know, 20 meetings in the same week. You want to spread your meetings out, individual in-person meetings, so that your population is evenly distributed throughout the year. So anyway, that scheduler does that for you. You don't have to hand do it, and that saves you enormous amounts of time and effort. So let me back up just for a minute and give you the sort of the the mantra of Supernova. What do we offer that makes Supernova unique? And will make your team unique and make your client experience unique. What we offer is multi-generational planning. And this is kind of the speech you're going to give when you talk to your clients, that you're kind of reorganizing, coming together, and there's been a number of challenges that the team has had that are all good due to rapid growth. So what you did was hire a consultant, Rob Knapp, and this is the plan that you guys came up with. And so our offering to you, Mr. and Mrs. Client, is the following. And this will be for each and every one of our clients. So what we're constructing is a concierge practice where we're offering multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person. And then in addition, we're offering rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And what the client will say is, wow, that sounds great. How are you going to be able to do that? And what you say is, because we are restricting ourselves to less than 100 clients per advisor. And they're going to gulp and go, am I one of them? And you're either going to say yes or no. The yes would be yes, congratulations, we're pleased to say that yes, you will be one of those clients. Here, you've heard what we're going to be doing for you. Now here's what we ask of you in return. And they'll be like, okay, quick, write it down. Your obligation, Mr. and Mrs. Client, is simply to be there like you would for any other doctor's or any other professional appointment. We're going to have an appointment every month. We just ask that you be there. If you can't be there, let us know. I'm going to be sending you a folder, and what I'd like you to do with the folder is to put in the agenda for each month, and then in the back, there'll be a place for notes, and I'd like you to take notes when you have a question during the month. So rather than calling us, we will be calling you, and at that time we'll discuss any of the questions. Now, if you have an urgent market-related issue, please call us. But otherwise, we'll talk about it during our regular monthly call. So what happens is all the interruptions go away. The phone stops ringing. The clients behave. They call if they've got a problem or an emergency, but they don't call with random questions about how's the election going to affect my account. And so the calls go to zero. You're outgoing. So you go from an emergency room of chaos to plan, process, and rituals. So you're probably close to that now. So you understand it. You get it. You're doing mostly outgoing calls now. But there'll be the random new client that you don't educate that calls in, and it interrupts and causes some chaos. So you go from that chaos emergency, you know, where you come in with a plan and then it goes to heck because, you know, everybody calls. And this will happen during rapid markets. We go from that to a concierge practice with limited number of clients and where everything is planned, organized, and structured. And we've gone to, Gary, since you took the course, we've gone to a much more structured process, limiting the number of clients. So we used to say, you know, when we started, it was 200 clients, then we went to 100. Now we're about 70 clients is what we think is the ideal number. And for private wealth advisors, it's probably closer to 50. But it's still, it's a good number. You add the butlers in with the clients and, you know, children of your existing clients, and 70 is a pretty good number. Plus, you know, let's say 20 or 30 butlers. So for every 3 butlers you have, that takes up 1 client's space. So you don't want to have too many butlers. Butlers that's typically.
I'm sorry, that's added to that. I wasn't.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, you had 50, so it's not a household. At 50, you see at 50,
Here's the thing. You know, a 40-year-old child is a separate account. It's a separate household. Anytime you're, you know, and if you're going to have a separate client, like my daughter's 44 now, and she has some money now, right? So she's a separate client. They should have a separate financial plan, but she may not need 12-4-2. She may need 4-1, but that's one typically would be in person. And she would have a financial plan. So she feels like a client. And what we found is that with high net worth clients, if the child doesn't feel like a client, but is more like a subsidiary of the parent, then when they get the money, they move. And we want to prevent that. So multi-generational planning is great, except when you never call them, then that's not, even if you have the account, that doesn't mean that you've got the multi-generational thing solved. So we take it seriously. And so one of the rules that we use in terms of butlers is figuring out, if you take the net worth of the parents and divide it by the number of children, would that child meet your minimum? Okay. And some private wealth teams will not accept even children. It's kind of crazy. If you don't meet their minimums, 20 million, you don't have a place in the business. And they'll do something for the kids, but it's not with them. So they assign them to a different team. So it's kind of, you know, it's not my model, but it is theirs. Anyway. So we quickly run out of time. These are half-hour increments that we use for our conference calls. So the homework for this week would be to get together, determine what your absolute minimum would be, and then what your target minimum would be. So theoretically, with a practice as good as yours, with the amount of people on your team and the quality of the team, I would almost ignore the math that you guys have right now. I'd make my absolute minimum 1 million, and I'd probably make my target minimum something like 3 million or 5 million, depending on what brand you want to create. If you really want to be a private wealth team, you probably should go ahead and say our minimum is 5 million. We'll make an exception here and there, but that's what we're after. Okay. So you guys discuss that and think about it. I'm not a huge fan of having multi different minimums. Janet, with your prospecting of institutional clients or referrals to institutional clients, that's a different business. So, you know that business, and, you know, that's a different game. With Andy, with his brand, you know, kind of brand new business, I'd like to see him prospect for clients with 1 million. Just because it means a lot to the team, and he has everybody to call on. So why waste your time on little accounts? You know, hunt for the big ones and then use you guys to close them. So I'd rather see that as the business model. And then the second part, which we do in week 2, which you can go ahead and do because you're ahead of the game in terms of segmentation – If you need to do some segmenting, now's the time. If you got a lot of little accounts, get rid of them. Okay. Just let's find a home for them. And you know what? So don't, you know, we use 4 weeks of segmentation to go through and check out our clients. But if you have clients that are 250,000 or below, let's not have any of those around if they're not attached to somebody else. And then what you want to do is determine your ideal day. You don't have to have this done by next week, but if you have time and you're kind of blowing through this, determine what your ideal day is. When do you want to prospect? When do you want to, and that could be different for each person. You know, when do you want to make your calls? What's the best time of day to make those calls? Do you want to, you know, make calls for 3 days and prospect for 2 days? You want to call for 2 weeks and prospect for 2 weeks? Do you want to call in the morning, prospect in the afternoon, call in the afternoon? I mean, you know, whatever you want to do it. But this is the time to create your ideal day, week, month, year. And then think about, you know, how do we want to handle the 5 week months? It's an extra week in the end. How do we want to handle when we do travel? Do we travel to see clients? And how do we batch those together so that we can put them into our 12-4-2 model all together? We'll cover some of that next week. So no, you don't have to do all of this, but I want you to, you know, if you're blowing through the segmentation and you've got your minimum all established, then start thinking about your day, week, and month and your ideal world. Questions?
I don't have any questions about that. We've been working on segmentation. In fact, we have a document that we're all going to work off of.
Great.
I know Tim had a question. I would probably have just a short couple of minutes, but I know Tim had a question about a situation happening currently, Rob, in our
sure.
office. Real quick.
Okay.
Tim?
Yep.
Yeah, Rob, thanks. Just if you had any input or ideas to share with us, we recently had a team leave from our office, and there's been some account reassignments. And I was just curious to pick your brain on if you have any particular strategies or ideas that you've seen be really successful in terms of reaching out to these clients and trying to retain them at UBS.
Yeah, I mean, I would introduce yourself and Supernova. They're not getting 12-4-2. They probably didn't get a financial plan. Okay, so 12-4-2 financial plan will differentiate you in a very crowded market where everybody seems exactly the same. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, don't think you've retained a client just because they say they're going to stay. You must do a transaction with them. Until they say yes to something and actually make a change, they are lying to you.
That's right there, some good insight.
That's the new quote of the day.
No, it's true. And, you know, people, like, change is really hard for people. So when somebody leaves, that creates change. But if they go, then there's no change, right? Other than all their checks and all the other crap they have to go through, which is horror show. But they're willing to do that so they don't have to talk to somebody new. So you have to quick make friends with them and make them trust you enough to stay. And so one of the things that I would focus on would be, look, do you really want to make all, you know, all these changes? The checks and the automatic bill payment and the everything else that they go through to make a change, is it really worth it? You know, so I would try and make it the easy decision is no decision, which is let us just do 12-4-2 for a couple of months for you and see how you feel about it. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you can do a quick financial plan for them or an update on their financial plan, that's brilliant. Because now you're getting to know them. So people leave because the client, the FA doesn't know me and he doesn't hear me. So when you send them an agenda and say, please add, if you have something that's on your mind, please add it to the agenda and send it back. And then when they send it back, and that's the first, you know, before we go into our agenda, let's go through your agenda. And then and be, even be, after that, whatever's on the list, then say, what else? What else? What's on your mind? And they will love you for that because nobody listens to them, including their husband or their wife, right? So you need to be the person in their world that listens. So you got to prove you know them and that you're listening to them and that you have competence.
Yeah.
All right. Now by doing the 12-4-2 and having an agenda and actually going through their agenda, they will love you for it and they will interpret that as competence.
As competence?
Competence.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to believe, you know, you're going to do surgery on them. They got to believe that you can do it. Right. And so that the reason I say they will not believe it until they allow you to do it. So you must make a change of some sort in their portfolio, asset allocation, something, or they still do not believe you. All right. So that would be, you know, hundreds of years of working on this issue. I'm unfortunately in our industry, you become an expert. Yeah. Okay. Good question. I love case study work, by the way. So anytime I can help with case study work, that's really where my experience is fun for me and I can really help. All right. So if you have one question like that, I've got this situation. What do you think? I love that and I can be a big help. And I think at least in my mind, I can be a big help. I don't know. Hopefully in your mind.
Sure. And so we have, so this session this is recorded and we will have access to, I don't know that part yet.
Yes, this is recorded just like the conference calls were recorded and you have access to this. So you can go back and play it. And I want everybody here because I want you to be together as a team and hear it together. But if, you know, somebody gets sick, you can watch it again. Or if you miss something or you like something like that little speech that I give and you need to memorize that, you can watch it over and over until you get it. So yeah, that's a big help with this. Okay.
Last question. So in between meetings, yeah. We don't really we wouldn't email you or ask you, basically want to, just like the same thing with 12-4-2. We're keeping our questions that we might have to right. say, we're going to hold it. And then when we talk next Monday, we'll address it.
Right. And really, honestly, if you have no questions, I don't feel like you've really worked at the homework. Okay. So see if you can come up with, I know this sounds crazy, but see if you can come up with a good question every week. Because it tells me you watched the video, you've read the material, you've got to think about it and say, what don't I understand here? Or what do I need clarity on? I had a team today, they said, no questions, no questions. Every week, it's no questions, no questions. I'm like, are you doing the homework? You know, how can you have no questions on how to build a mastermind group? You know, how do you have no questions on that? So,
okay.
It just makes it more interesting for me too. So, which is important.
Rob,
all right.
Great start. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gary. Thanks,
Tim. Thanks, Rob.
You guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.